भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 1, entitled The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. And I believe we're on text number 19. Sarochisho Dvitiyas Tu Manur Agne Suto Bhavat Dhyumat Sushena Rochishmat Pramukas Tasya Chatmajaha Swarochisho Dvitiyas. I'm sorry. Swarochisho Dvitiyastu. Svarochisho dvitiyastu Manuragne suto bhavat Manuragne suto bhavat Dhyumatsu shena rochishmat Dhyumatsu shena rochishmat Pramukastasya chatmaja Pramukastasya chatmaja Svarochisho dvitiyastu Manuragne suto bhavat Dhyumatsu shena rochishmat Pramakastasya chatmaja. Please chant. Svarochisho dvitiyastu Manuragne suto bhavat Dhyumatsu shena rochishmat Pramukastasya chatmajaha Svarochisho dvitiyastu Manuragne suto bhavat Dhyumasu shena rochishmat Pramukastasya chatmajaha Rochisho dvitiyastu Manuragne suto bhavat Dhyumasu shena rochishmat Pramukastasya chatmaja Ladies. Manuragne suto bhavat Dhyumatsu shena rochishmat Pramukastasya chatmajaha Svarochishaha Svarochisha Dvitiya The second. Two. Indeed. Manu, Manu, Agne, of Agni, Suta, the sun, Abhavat, became, Dumat, Dumat, Sushena, Sushena, Rochishmat, Rochishmat, Pramukha, beginning with them, Tasya, of him, Swarochisha, Cha, also, Atmajaha, sons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. The son of Agni, named Swarochisha, became the second Manu. His several sons were headed by Dhumat, Sushena, and Rochishmat. Purport. Manvantaram Manurdeva Manuputra Sureshwara Rishayo Rishayom Shavatarascha Hare Sadvidim Uchyate. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Manu, the Manuputra, the sons of Manu, the king of the heavenly planets, and the seven great sages are all partial incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Manu himself, his sons Priyavrata and Uttanapad, the demigods created by Daksha, and the rishis like Marichi, were all partial incarnations of the Lord during the reign of Svayambhuva Manu. During that time, the incarnation of the Lord as Yajna took charge of ruling the heavenly planets. The next Manu was Swarochisha. The Manus and the sages and demigods are further described in the following 11 verses. So there are a few verses here that do not have purports, so we're going to read them, and we'll stop at the first purport, which would be tomorrow's verse. Text number 20. During the reign of Swarochisha, the post of Indra was assumed by Rochana, the son of Yajna. Tushita and others became the principal demigods, and Urja, Stamba, and others became the seven saints. All of them were faithful devotees of the Lord. Vedashira was a very celebrated rishi. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatar named Vibhu. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him, 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity, and similar behavior. 88,000. O king, the third Manu, Uttama, was the son of King Priyavrata. Among the sons of this Manu were Pavana, Srinjaya, and Yajnahotra. During the reign of the third Manu, Pramada and other sons of Vashishta became the seven sages. The Satyas, Vedashrutas, and Bhadras became demigods, and Satyajit was selected to be Indra, the king of heaven. And then, more. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Sunrita, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasen, and he appeared with other demigods known as the Satyavratas. Satyasen, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king of heaven, Indra, killed all the untruthful, impious, and behaved and misbehaved yakshas, rakshasas, and ghostly living entities who gave pains to other living beings. The brother of the third Manu, Uttama, was celebrated by the name Tamasa, and he became the fourth Manu. Tamasa had 10 sons headed by Pritu, Kyati, Nara, and Ketu. And finally, during the reign of Tamasa Manu, among the demigods were the Satyakas, Haris, and Viras. The heavenly king Indra was Trishika. The sages in Saptarishi Dham were headed by Jyotir Dham. Om Jnanate Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunitam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Nama Mukham Guru Divachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Ekibhutam Aham Vande Sigurum Dinatarunam. So one may question, why again is this information mentioned in the Bhagavatam? It doesn't seem very relevant to our lives, at least at the present time. But in actuality it is, because it, for a number of reasons. First of all, it helps us to appreciate the longevity of Krishna consciousness. It's not that Krishna consciousness began just some short time ago. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Ingmami Vashate Jogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Manu Ikshvakave Bravit. This Vedic knowledge has been handed down at least 240 million years ago. So that's quite a long time. It's not something just recent, somebody's concoction. It sort of sounded good. We can make a few followers and fame and enjoy ourselves. Actually, it's a very ancient philosophy, and it just helps one to appreciate the longevity of Krishna consciousness. It's reality. If you practice it and it's passed down properly, the effect is there, right? Sampradaya vihinaye mantraste nishvalamata. If you receive a mantra or instruction from a bona fide disciplic succession, bona fide source, then the desired result is achieved. Otherwise, it's simply a waste of time. It's a farce. And we have so much experience of that in our own lives. Farcical ideas about spirituality. So, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, there are many incarnations of the personality of Godhead, and he mentions the Manus because they're empowered. They're empowered individuals. You might say guardians of human society. Just like they have these fellows out there with the red berets. They call themselves guardian angels. Right? You've seen those fellows. They sometimes go around the streets and they're there to protect the innocent citizens. Right? If somebody gets accosted or there's an incident somewhere, guardian angels on the scene. So they're there to protect the protect the law and order. So also, the Manus are there for that reason. They're there to guard society and to provide the moral instructions which are necessary for human life. The Manu Sanghita gives the describes the 10 reformatory processes which are necessary for practicing or reviving one's Krishna consciousness according to the Varnashram Dharma. Again, there are instructions there so that we can understand how to revive our Krishna consciousness. Because really that's the goal of human life, isn't it? We're not here for any other purpose. It's not to make money. It's not to just become learned or famous or whatever. There are so many misconceptions about the purpose of human life. Therefore, they have these sayings, just do it, or if it feels good, do it, or whatever. Some other nonsense little line that has no real meaning to it. Just be an animal. Go ahead, do it. They should have it in fine print. Just do it and be a dog. Just be a dog and do it. So, no, that's not the purpose of a human life. The purpose of human life is to become reformed. And that reformation means developing one's Krishna consciousness. It's just like, it's not that you just get thrown into the prison house and you act good for a little while. Don't create any waves with the rest of the prisoners. And you get on the good side of the warden and they let you out on good behavior. And then you, it was actually a show. And then you go ahead and do the same thing as you did before. And we have practical experience of that. The reformation, the process of reformation in the prison system is, it's a farce. It's a farce. People go to jail and they, and most crime is, the majority of crime is repeat offenders. So what sort of reformation is going on? It's not really a reformation. It's a useless waste of time and energy, and the taxpayers, they have to pay for it. That's the kicker, right? They have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to support the prisoner in the prison house. Actually, a lot of them like being in there because you get medical and dental and a good meal, and you get a little, you know, rec time. You can apply for books, get all the reading you want. Maybe even get some art materials, and you can draw in your cell. Have you been there? But so, you know, they want to go in there for some weird reason. But what sort of reformation is that? It's not really reformation, because as soon as they come out, they do their nonsense again. So the Vedic philosophy means really to become reformed. And that means to understand how to act. Pravrittim cha navrittim cha janana vidura asura. The foolish persons, the demoniac persons, don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Na saucham na picha charo. They're neither clean, they're dirty. Saucham, na picha, neither do they know how to act. People don't care. They just, I remember sometimes going to the airport and, you know, sometimes you have to go to the restroom, right? So you'd see these businessmen, they look so sophisticated and smart with their suits and shiny shoes. And they come in and they use the restroom and they go straight out without even washing their hands. And I remember then going out and imagining in my mind, when we're talking to people and you're shaking hands with them, what is it that... in those days, you didn't have these little bottles of sanitizers that some people... I know some people that carry them with them everywhere they go. As a matter of fact, I was listening to one... article. It was a news article about dirty things, 10 most dirty things. And you wouldn't believe, some of them were the railings on escalators and doorknobs and babies. And it was just incredible. So point being that when one is in material consciousness, one doesn't know how to keep clean. One doesn't know how to act. There's no instruction for that. There's no code books for that practically in society. It's all speculation. You talk to a psychologist and sociologist, it's all speculation. One tells you one thing and somebody tells you another thing. And it changes according to time and time and place almost. But the Vedic philosophy is not like that. Manu Sanghita is very clear since time immemorial how a person should act and how they should conduct themselves. So they don't know how to act. They're unclean. What to speak of being truthful? People lie through their teeth. You can't, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. And that includes spiritual leaders. They lie through their teeth. Just to get some form of gratification, gross or subtle. So the Manus, as we're reading here, the Manus are being described because they're important personalities. They're authorities. Manu, what is that? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu. What is it? Komara Kapalo, Manu. Manu, the Manus are authorities. They're people who are persons who are empowered to teach us how to act and how to properly behave as human beings. But unfortunately, that is lost in society, in present society. There are no instructions which help us to regulate our behavior, how to control, just as Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that the Manu Sanghita is there to help the, according to Varnashram Dharma, to regulate the human behavior, how to control lust, and even how to punish according to a certain standard, right? Everything is there. So it's not something that changes because the government changed or because we're living in the, we're living in the 2010 and it's different than it was in 1960. No, it's not that sort of a mental speculation. It's not that sort of a concoction. There are certain laws which are there for human society to advance, again, in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life. And there has to be a standard. There has to be a standard. If there's no standard, then it's chaos. Then again, we're living in a society where people don't know what to do and what not to do, and you just do it. You just do it. Because you feel like doing it, and then society is ruined. But those rules and regulations, they have to be there. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita, yagya dana tapa karma. Krishna explains that sacrifice, austerity, and charity have to be performed. So sacrifice, those reformatory processes, whether it's garbhadana or vivaha or there's some other instructions given, and those all have to be there so that one can advance nicely in life. And even the great souls, Krishna explains, even the great souls, they follow these instructions. So why all of this is being mentioned here is it's not just to fill the pages. We've heard that many a time. There's other descriptions given in the, whether it's in the fifth canto or in the third canto, that seem a little bit difficult to see how it relates to our lives. But really, in reality, it's there to help us appreciate the science and the longevity of Krishna consciousness. It's a reality. It's not somebody's concoction or imagination. All of this information is not there just to, again, fill up, make print. Like when you go to the grocery store, they have magazines that are just there to incite some emotion or create print. That's all they're interested in. They just want to sell their product at whatever cost, even if they have to distort the information. Isn't it? It's all distorted. If you read the headlines, it's complete distortion. And it's meant to just, again, incite some sort of emotion or interest in the innocent public. In order to avoid all of that, we have great authorities like the Manus and the great Rishis. So these descriptions that we're reading here in the Bhagavatam are very, very pertinent. Very much relevant to our everyday lives. And it's just a matter of hearing it and having it explained to us, as we're so fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada give us this information. So, I'm sure many things, many more things can be said, but we'll end there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Austerity, charity, and penance. Yajna, dana, tapak, karma. Any other comments, questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.